Your recording has started. You may now proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the GNSO Council webinar on the 18th of October, 2017. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll call. We will take attendance via the Adobe Connect. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our GNSO Council Chair, James Blato. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry, and thanks everyone for your patience while I was able to get connected there. So this is, first off, welcome. Welcome to everyone who has attending this call. Congratulations, I guess, for everyone who was either recently elected or appointed to serve on the GNSO Council. And I think as current counselors, and I see one of my co-chairs, Heather Forrest, is also on the call, I think they can certainly confirm that this is a commitment, and it is a commitment to service, not only to the stakeholder group or constituency or nominating committee that put you here, but also to the community as well. So so thank you in advance for that, and we can dive into to this slide deck. Now, many of you maybe have, maybe you're newcomers to not only the GNSO, but to ICANN. Perhaps you have seen some council meetings or listened to the transcripts or recordings. Maybe you have a pretty good handle on how these things work. Or maybe you were like, you know, what the heck are they talking about up there with all those acronyms? Hopefully this will give you a running start as you join the council and kind of clear up some of the mysteries about how the council operates. So here's the quick agenda. We've got a couple of points here, the welcome, the council itself, how to find your way around and navigate the council and the meetings and some of our processes. And some of the materials that are available on the website, and then getting ready for ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi, which I think most of us will be heading out about this time next week. And then we'll try and see if we can leave some time at the end for Q&A. Next slide, please. That's me. That's an old picture of me, but I haven't gotten any better looking, I can promise you that. And for those of you who are going to Abu Dhabi, you'll probably be taking your seats just as I'm stepping down. So I don't know if we'll formally get a chance to say hello or goodbye, but there'll be some social events. So make sure you come up and introduce yourself. Next slide, please. So ICANN is structured. It's a very complex organization, and it's structured. The community is comprised of various stakeholder groups, or sorry, supporting organizations and advisory committees. The advisory committee, some of you may be familiar with the At-Large Advisory Committee or ALAC, or the Government Advisory Committee, the GAC. I think those are the most prominent. But there are some others as well. As you can see, there's FSAC for Security and Stability, and then the Root Server Advisory Committee. The GNSO doesn't necessarily interact with these committees directly. They are intended to advise the board, but it's good to know what they're out there and what they're working on. Next slide, please. The supporting organizations are a slightly different animal in that these organizations are chartered to actually develop policies. The address supporting organization, the CCNSO for country codes, and then, of course, the one that's near and dear to us is the GNSO for generic top-level domains. And that includes all of the interest groups, the stakeholders and constituencies that you see listed there, registries and registrars, IP, ISPs, businesses, non-commercial and nonprofits. Next slide, please. Most of this you probably just heard me say, but the council is made up of 21 councilors from six different constituencies and stakeholder groups. It also includes three NOMCOM appointees and a number of liaisons as well. And I think the next slide actually shows this in a little bit greater detail. So if we can go to that one, please. Right. So this is the council itself, and the first thing to point out is that the council is a bicameral organization, meaning that there are two houses. The first house, just going left to right, is the contracted party's house, and that consists of entities or organizations that have actually are under contract with ICANN. That's registries and registrars. The other house is the non-contracted party house, and that has 12 councilors, and that is comprised of the business constituency, intellectual property constituency, the ISP constituency, and then non-commercial constituencies, including the MPOC, which is for nonprofits. Each house also has one voting NOMCOM appointee, that's for the NCA, attached to it. So you can see that brings the total number from the contracted party house to 7 and the number for non-contracted parties to 13. Nice odd numbers there for voting. And then there is also one non-voting NOMCOM appointee right there in the middle that doesn't really belong to any house but just serves more in an at-large capacity. We also have, as you can see in the upper right on this slide, we also have a liaison from the ALAC, and we have a liaison from the CCNSO. And I believe what's not shown here, we have corresponding liaisons to the CCNSO and to the GAC. We'll get into that in a little bit, but those are not necessarily shown on this diagram. So that's the council. We also have, from a leadership capacity, there is a council chair that is someone who is elected according to the rules and operating rules of the council. And we have two vice chairs, and the vice chairs serve one from each house. And that forms a leadership team. And one of the things that we've done in the past couple of years is really emphasize that is a triad of leaders. There's just so much work going on that we've really done a good job of spreading that around amongst the three chairs and the council leadership. So that's essentially how it breaks down. And just because you're appointed or elected by a certain constituency doesn't mean you have to necessarily sit next to everyone else. This isn't a seating chart. It's just a visual breakdown of where everyone is coming from. Next slide, please. So the GNSO Council, first and foremost, is responsible for managing the policy development process from the GNSO community. And that is primarily conducted via the PDP, an acronym I hope that you may have heard before. The PDP is something that is a separate group that's chartered by the council, and it operates according to a very, very dense and complex body of rules, with the results coming back for recommendations for policy changes, and then the council and later the ICANN board would then adopt or not adopt those recommendations, and then those would go to ICANN staff for implementation. We meet once per month, usually during two-hour teleconferences, very similar to the one that we're having here. In the past, we sometimes have an extended break during the summertime, and then sometimes just because of the way the meeting calendar falls, we might have two meetings in a calendar month, one at the beginning and one at the end. Anytime the council takes any formal decision, it must do so via a motion. Those motions are required to be submitted 10 days in advance of a meeting. There's you'll see what's called a document and motion cutoff, and that's because we don't want to surprise anyone with motions that they haven't seen yet, and then call for a vote. And then the last bullet here is referring back to the first bullet here, in that the PDP working groups are open to anyone. They're not limited to participants from council or even from the GNSO. Anyone who's interested in an issue can volunteer to participate in a PDP. That's roughly how the cadence of the meetings. I mean, certainly when you get to an ICANN meeting, it's a very full week of council activities, and then this is what's occurring intersessionally between the ICANN meetings. Next slide, please. Attendance is expected and required. We do keep track. We do know who's reliable and unfortunately who's not. If you know in advance that you're going to miss a council meeting, either it's occurring during a work or a personal conflict, or oftentimes knowing this crowd, council call is happening when someone's on a very long flight and they can't join, then we ask that you notify the GNSO secretariat before the meeting as soon as you're aware of the conflict. The various stakeholder groups and constituencies have rules and processes where you can appoint a proxy or an alternate to participate on your behalf in the meeting and vote if necessary. In some cases, if an extended absence is anticipated where someone might miss one or two or three meetings, we have even seen temporary alternates for that length of time. There's work outside of council meetings as well. There's a mailing list that we ask counselors to monitor and contribute to. We also will occasionally break up into small groups to tackle a particular project or an issue to bring back some broader council to consider during its next call. And like everything, this all ramps up in speed and frequency as we approach an ICANN meeting like we're doing right now. Next slide, please. I'm not even going to go through this, but this is the life cycle of a PDP. For those of you who have participated on a PDP, you know that it can be a pretty significant commitment, lasting anywhere from a year to 18 months to unfortunately longer. And sometimes it may feel like you're stuck on one of these squares or you go backwards. But generally, these are the milestones and steps from the first inception of a PDP via an issues report all the way through to council deliberation, board approval, and implementation into policy. Next slide, please. And just here are some other training and resources that we can make available to you. I think more importantly is understanding how the PDP works in practice, and recognizing when one of them is in trouble, and understanding what the council can do to intervene and help get those working groups back on track. Next slide, please. So, time to go through the yearbook and look at some nice pictures of folks and put some names to faces. This is how the new council will be comprised when we get to Wednesday in Abu Dhabi, and I believe that's November 2nd, maybe, when the new council is seated. So these are the folks that you'll see from the registry stakeholder group. That's Donna Austin, currently vice chair from the contracted party, Keith Drazik, and Rubens Kuhl. For those of you who haven't met Keith and Rubens and Donna, they're great folks. Please introduce yourself, very friendly. Next slide, please. Okay, for registrars, Darcy Southwell, Pam Little will be taking my spot when I step down in Abu Dhabi, so welcome, Pam, and Michele Nalon. And if you're at ICANN for any length of time and you haven't met Michele, then you're doing something wrong, because I think everybody knows Michele. But anyway, those are the folks from the registrar stakeholder group. Next slide, please. These are the folks from the commercial stakeholder group, which includes, as I mentioned, three constituencies. That's Susan Kawaguchi and Phil Corwin from the business constituency, Heather Forrest and Paul McGrady from the IPC. Heather is on the call, and she is the vice chair for the non-contracted party house. And look, I don't think I'm speaking out of school to say that she's the only candidate standing currently for chair. So that will also be the first order of business for the new council in Abu Dhabi. We also have Philippe and Tony representing ISPs, and Philippe will be seated in Abu Dhabi as well. Next slide, please. Non-commercial, quite a few new faces, and some folks I maybe have not met yet, so I'm probably going to mess up their names, and I apologize to you in advance if I do so. That's Arsene and Tatiana. Tatiana's actually been serving out a term. She's been serving as a temporary alternate for the last couple of meetings, so we know Tatiana, and welcome to the council again. Rafiq. Rafiq is from Asia Pacific, and Rafiq actually, I believe, was a counselor a few years ago and then took some time away from ICANN and then has since come back. So many of you may be already familiar with Rafiq, probably from his previous term on council. We have Stephanie Perrin, our neighbor to the north in Canada, or my neighbor to the north. Martin has also been serving in a temporary capacity, but will be joining the council in a permanent role. And Aiden will be joining as well. So this beginning on the Wednesday in Abu Dhabi will be your new delegation of counselors from the non-commercial stakeholder group. Next slide, please. And as I mentioned, the nominating committee has makes three appointments, one at-large non-voting member, and we're very fortunate to have Erica Mann. For those of you who know Erica, she hails from the EU as well as her time on the ICANN board of directors, very, very experienced person. Also, Carlos. Carlos was previously a non-voting non-com appointee and also our liaison to the GAC, but he will be changing roles in Abu Dhabi and will become a voting non-com appointee as part of the contracted party house. And Syed is joining in Abu Dhabi as well, and he will be a voting member for the non-contracted party house. So welcome to all of you, except for Carlos. We know Carlos very well. Next slide, please. And our liaisons. Cheryl Langdon Orr is the liaison from the ALAC, and Ben Fuller is the liaison from the CCNSO, who joined us, I believe, in Copenhagen. So he's only been with us for one turn of the wheel. And you see Carlos, it's not that he has two jobs, but Carlos, his picture is there because he's also, until the end of ICANN 60, is the liaison to the GAC. However, we do have, I believe, a recommendation on the table for Abu Dhabi to appoint Carlos's successor. I don't want to speak out of school, but I think it will also be someone that we're all familiar with. So those are our liaisons. Next slide, please. So hopefully it came across that not only are those folks very capable and competent and very willing to share their experience and expertise for newcomers, but they are also super friendly and fantastically easy to work with, and I think you'll find that you are joining a very congenial and professional group of counselors. Here's some materials, and don't feel like you have to copy this down now. We'll certainly send this deck around, but the main GNSO website is gnso.icann.org, and that is a fairly comprehensive website. The pages that I use most frequently on that website are the calendar pages, because not only does that show what's coming up in terms of future meetings and events, but it also keeps the transcripts and recordings for things that have happened in the past. So a very, very useful section of that website is the calendar. We have a number of materials related to the GNSO and the PDP, and I think those are probably good things for you to maybe download those PDFs to your favorite reading device so that you can take a look at them before leaving for Abu Dhabi, or if you have trouble sleeping on airplanes. Perhaps it's something that you can read while you're in transit. Next slide, please. Okay, just a few things we want to point out, highlights as we plan for Abu Dhabi. There will be a policy update webinar tomorrow where staff very kindly goes through the active topics and issues and the PDPs that are currently underway. There is a, on Sunday, there is an informal GMSO Council dinner that is a very much a meet and greet type activity. Natalie has been very gracious in helping to plan for that, and I think everyone will be happy with the selection, the venue that was selected. And there are several working sessions throughout the week. The big ones I think that you should be aware of are Sunday is pretty much an all-day GNSO Council working session, so you should not schedule against it either other sessions or personal meetings. I would recommend keeping those to a minimum so that you can attend that. And then there is the open council meeting on Wednesday, and then usually there's a wrap-up meeting, which I don't know if that's happening on, usually that's on Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, Marika's confirming. And then there's usually a prep meeting the evening before on Tuesday evening. I don't know if that's, I think that we're able to squeeze that in as well. And I'm saying this, you know, to say, well, I would encourage you to try to attend those, except for the prep meeting, which is usually closed in Abu Dhabi, but also to plan for those as, you know, we start to look towards Puerto Rico and Panama and next year's calendar. That is assuming that the I don't want to say tradition, but the typical schedule continues to hold true in the next council, and it's certainly not carved in. You guys could certainly revisit that and change it up to suit your needs, but this is how it usually lays out as the council flows through an ICANN conference. Next slide, please. Yeah, here's some more meetings specific to the GNSO in Abu Dhabi. Okay, next slide, please. I wasn't going to run through each of those. Here's the important slide where we get to meet the folks who are responsible for actually making all of the magic happen. It starts with David. He recently relocated back to Washington, D.C. from the office in Istanbul. So, hello, David. But I would say a lot of the heavy lifting and experience comes from the folks coming up next after David, which would be Marika. Marika's on the call, and I think you will find that she is not only capable and professional, but also has just this almost unending experience of policy and procedures that she can bring to bear on any given problem or question. She's in San Jose, which is, you know, I guess where your husband is Spanish, is that correct? He's Spanish, anyway, I think originally from the Netherlands and Belgium and Spain, and Marika is really a citizen of the world. Likewise, Natalie, who is based in France. Natalie is the voice that you hear on a number of GNSO meetings as someone who kind of keeps all the trains running on time. Next slide, please. Mary Wong is she's on here, and she's, of course, fantastic like everyone else. But I think Mary is also in the process of transitioning to a new role at ICANN, so our time with Mary is limited and precious, so we need to, you know, make sure that we keep her busy while we still have her. Julie Headland, also based in D.C., is someone that I know that has worked on some very, very complex projects that we have, as well as Steve. Steve is out in L.A., which I don't even like to think about right now because I'm a Cubs fan, but anyway, Steve is based in the L.A. Headquarters for ICANN, and I know that has worked on a number of key PDPs, including the one associated with new GTLDs, which is always stirring up controversy. Next slide, please. Emily is in Amsterdam. I did not know that, Emily. I thought you were in the UK for some reason. Emily is based in Amsterdam, and I know she's been working on a number of PDPs as well, in particular some of the ones associated with WHOIS and the rights protection stuff. And I forget which staff support on some of those, but Emily is also someone you should probably introduce yourself to when you get out to Abu Dhabi. Ariel was previously in communication support, but she's now joining as a policy analyst to the GNSO. So welcome, Ariel. She's been fantastic in the past, and I know she'll carry all that success forward in her new role. And Barry, I think that's out of date. Are you back in Scottsdale, Barry, or are you still in D.C.? I thought that Barry had moved from Arizona, which is where my company is based. But Barry, fortunately, has a very strong background in finance. So when the budget cycle comes around, Barry is a very invaluable resource in terms of preparing that budget analysis. So very helpful to have him on board as well. Next slide, please. Terry and Julie and Michelle are also key players who kind of keep the meetings running, and in particular, Terry is the person that you need to raise your hand if you have any problems on the ground in Abu Dhabi or wherever the future meetings are. If Terry can't solve it, it's either unsolvable or she can get you to the right person. And I think everybody on this slide probably lives within 10 miles of me just by some weird coincidence. So I'm going to say, David, if you ever need to open an office in this area, just let me know because we can already staff it. But that's Terry, Julie, and Michelle, so please get to know those folks as well. And next slide, please. And that's the end. That leaves us quite a bit of time. You know, one thing that was missing from all of this when we were talking about people and structures, we have a couple of things that are relatively new, and I'm presuming will continue after I'm gone. One of which is a standing selection committee, and that's a committee of counselors, committee from the various stakeholder groups to fill appointments and liaisons and other types of roles for review teams. And if a cross-community working group spins up and needs someone from the GNSO. So that's a new structure that was recently created that wasn't contained in these slides, and I think it's working fairly well, although it's probably due for a review of its charter. There's a proposal to do something similar with the budget and have a standing finance committee. That's currently under consideration and will be something that is discussed in Abu Dhabi because the GNSO is a decisional participant in the new empowered community, and so it's important to be familiar with all the budget issues. And then finally, you know, as part of the empowered community, the GNSO has a representative, I guess, or delegate, or a member of the empowered community administration. And the good news there is that that one is not something you have to learn and memorize, because that's typically something that is designated as the chair of the GNSO, and that helps keep things simple because then we don't have to worry about lining up election terms and travel and all that stuff. But that's certainly something that might also be reviewed in the future, and who knows? None of this stuff is carved in stone and is certainly fair game if someone wants to change it, but I think it's working fairly well so far, and the impetus would, or the burden would have to be on anyone who is proposing something new. So that's just something that maybe, I don't know, future iterations when we do this slide deck next year, is something that maybe could be considered, those standing committees and how it all works with the empowered community. So with that, I guess I will turn it over to, first off, I should ask Heather if she has any other remarks, or if she feels like maybe I left something out or dropped the ball or didn't cover something very well, and then we can probably just kick it open for Q&A. So with that, I'll turn it over to Heather.
Thanks very much, James, and I know you've done a fantastic job. Welcome, everyone. James, I thought we might just quickly mention as well, on the vein of the Standing Selection Committee, the fact that we also select from amongst ourselves liaisons to each of the various TDPs, and I think we do so for the IRTs as well, although I might be wrong about IRTs. And what that does is that provides a permanent ongoing link between our major work tracks and the council, and that that person who serves as a liaison is there to report back on major milestones of the work, on obstacles of the work, to the extent that the PDP needs to put forward any motions into the agenda. Generally speaking, it's the liaison that does that. So that's one of the things that we will need to do as a new council is run through our list of current liaisons, see who we've lost by the end of term coming naturally. Let's say when someone cycles off of council to the extent that they were a liaison to an existing work effort, then we would want to replace them. So, James, I thought that would be worthwhile mentioning since it's inherently part of our jobs, let's say. I think the other thing that was in the back of my mind is one of our other major and regular activities as a council is preparing a response to the GAC communique that comes out of each face-to-face meeting. And that's something that we work on collaboratively on a volunteer basis. So we put together a small drafting team and all work together to see that document gets completed. So I thought it would be worthwhile to mention those things. I suspect Marika has released the slide, so you can scroll back to any slide that would be helpful. James, I think that's all I wanted to add. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Heather, and very valuable contributions to the conversation. I had forgotten about the liaisons to the PDPs and IRTs. I think that's a critical role, as you mentioned, and I think it's also noteworthy that we do break up into small groups to solve different quick problems or tasks, like responding to the GAC communique. So if that's something that you're interested in, please, express your interest in Abu Dhabi. Maybe you can join the group to be responding, helping draft the response to the Abu Dhabi communique. If it's something you're not interested in, maybe consider joining anyway, because some of these groups tend to be either hurting for volunteers, or sometimes it's the same couple of people and could probably benefit from fresh perspective and some fresh eyes. So, but there were going to be tons of opportunities like that to raise your hand and get involved. Heather, go ahead.
Thanks, James. This is Heather. I thought of one more piece of advice that might be helpful. When I first joined the council 3 years ago, my colleagues in the IPC recommended, and specifically folks who had served on council before me, recommended that I had a read, and not just a lighthearted read, but a serious read of the relevant GNSO clauses in the bylaws, the GNSO operating procedures, and the PDP manual. And I found that super useful. What they did was they said, read through. If you have any questions, please ask us. And I did exactly that. And I think that was a useful exercise in terms of understanding how the GNSO fits and what exactly we do and what legally we're capable of doing, bearing in mind that the bylaws are, the legal formative document of ICANN. Marika has very helpfully put the relevant bylaw provision. I think we're Article 11 now, used to be Article 10, in the chat for you. And then there was a previous slide that James pointed to that had quite a bit of quite a few links to the various things that I've mentioned now. So I recommend, it certainly helped me. I would say that it might be something that you're keen to do, and I would certainly say lean on the folks whose seats you are replacing. Experience is the very best thing in terms of understanding council. There is a learning curve. I'm sure James would agree with me. And you sort of think you know what council does, and then you join council. So if you have questions, I would say your first port of call should be the folks that you are replacing on council, as they will have intimate knowledge of the questions that you have, and probably also had those questions themselves when they started. So thanks, James.
Thanks, Heather. Great points. The materials that she mentioned that Marika is linking in the chat are the instruction manuals, if you will, for how the GNSO Council operates. And I think, very worthwhile to read them and familiarize yourself with those materials. And in particular, as Heather mentioned, knowing what the Council does, what it can do, and perhaps even more importantly, what it can't do. I think, and I can sometimes, we see a problem and we see an organization and we want the organization to somehow respond to the problem. And sometimes, it's not within that organization's remit to take everything that pops up under the ICANN umbrella. And so it's always good to know where those boundary lines are. So, okay. Well, you've heard enough of me and probably don't want to hear any more. So let's then take a cue. If anyone has any questions on the material that we presented, on some of the topics that Heather and I raised just a couple of minutes ago, or really anything that comes into your mind as you're preparing to take your seat on the council. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Do you have a long list of things you want to tackle? Or are you just kind of waiting to see what comes your way? Tell us what you think. I think we can certainly help you prepare in any way that you feel is useful. And no takers. Philippe, fantastic. You're our first customer. Go ahead, Philippe.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. I'll give it a shot then. Good evening, good morning for that matter, wherever you are. In terms of working methods, you refer to the working groups. You said a word about the standing committees. Could you elaborate on this? Whether that's, I don't know what to call it, and my apologies for sort of a dummy question, but whether that's an ad hoc procedure to address specific topics, or what's the remit of these bodies, whether that's meant to be a permanent working method whereby council would delegate specific topics, that sort of thing. And again, apologies if it's a sort of dumb question.
No, I think it's a good question because we probably have mentioned them all in the same breath or two, and they are different, as you correctly pointed out. We have both sorts of organizations. We have currently one standing committee, which is the Standing Selection Committee. It has a charter. It has describing its remit and how it will conduct its work and who will participate and what their decision-making process will be. That we have one of those. We're considering the need for a second one, which would be a standing finance committee. If that is adopted, I presume it would also require a charter, et cetera. Or perhaps it could just be, we could determine that it's not necessary. There are other groups that are more ad hoc in that the chair or vice chairs or someone maybe that's close to a particular issue, maybe a liaison to a PDP will ask counselors, if they are able to volunteer for a short-term task or project, like, for example, drafting a response to a GAC communique, that group will organize itself and it will do the work, and then it will refer that resulting work back to the GNSO Council, and then it will dissolve, and then a new one will stand up the next time we have a communique that needs a response. So it's just kind of we have a couple of those different approaches, one very structured, one more ad hoc, and I think the question, you know, for this group and the councils going forward is as new challenges and tasks and functions pop up, you know, the first question is this within the GNSO's remit, and if so, is it best addressed by the council or the stakeholder groups individually or by the council collectively? And if it's the latter, then how should the council address it, be it some sort of an ad hoc working group or something that is a more structured standing committee? So that's generally, I think, the lay of the land, but of course, you know, it's always in a state of change. So I hope that was helpful, Philippe.
Thank you. Very clear. Thank you. Thanks,
okay. James. Fantastic. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to get involved in all of those types of organizations. Next up is Pam. Go ahead, Pam.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? You can hear me?
Yes, Pam. Go ahead.
Great. Thanks, James. Hi. Thank you to James and Heather and the ICANN staff for organizing this webinar. I think it's very informative and useful. Just want to congratulate the team and especially James for having done an outstanding job in all the initiatives you introduced during your chairmanship and as an incoming counselor to take your seat. I do feel very daunted because it's such big shoes to fill. So that's just kind of my personal sentiment, I guess, coming into council as a new counselor. But my question is this to you and perhaps Heather. What do you see as the most pressing or challenging issues say, you know, in the next month, in the next few months ahead, or even in the next year or 2 years also, i.e. in the next two-year term for new incoming counselors? Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. I do appreciate your very kind and gracious words. I think if I were a little bit better at my job, I probably would have left the new council an empty to-do list, but unfortunately that is certainly not not going to be the case. I think there are a number of big items that are directly in front of the council to tackle. First of all, I think you have PDPs in various states of life cycle that need to continue or complete their work. There is a possibility that, you know, new PDPs may arise in the immediate future, like during the next term. The GNSO participates in the cross-community working groups. I think Workstream 2 is sort of approaching an end point, so there'll be some work to consider there, and other cross-community working groups are going to need GNSO participation. Review teams, the GNSO will have to staff those and monitor their work. Over beyond that, I think you get into some more existential questions about the role of the council in the entire community. We have a review that was recently completed, and the council is reviewing some potential changes to its bylaws and to ICANN's bylaws that that really will enshrine how the council takes on its responsibilities going forward. And that's really important, Pam, because, you know, there are, and I'm going to say this a little diplomatically, let's say there are elements of the community that believe that certain questions or topics or problems are just simply too big for the GNSO to take on and need to be addressed via something like a cross-community working group or or some other kind of structure that, you know, is not really well defined. So I think making sure that the GNSO protects its remit, you know, only the GNSO through its policy development process has the legitimacy to create new contractual obligations, registries and registries, and that's just a fact. You know, the board can't do that. The cross-community working groups can't do that. The GAC can't put it in a communique. It can only come through the GNSO. And that's both a blessing and a curse because it's a responsibility for the GNSO to then be effective and efficient in discharging those responsibilities, but also in protecting that role from those interests who would like to see maybe a different route to creating new policies. So that's my answer, and I would love to see, I'd love to actually put Heather on the spot, even though it's fairly early for her. I hope she's had some coffee. Heather, what did I miss?
Thanks, James. No tea yet on the tea booth. No tea yet, but I will do my best. So I think in terms of specifics, I think it would be very helpful to mention the two things that are related that are going, if you like, the most urgent on our list as a new council. So one is the reopened PDP policy development process in relation to the use of Red Cross and IGO names at the within new GTLDs. So this is a holdover from a policy development process that actually predate 2012 application process, and a decision was taken by the GNSO at that time not to provide any pre-registration special treatment to names relating to the Red Cross and intergovernmental organizations. And that decision is currently being revisited in relation to the Red Cross, the International Red Cross, Red Crescent Movement, at the insistence of the GAC and the board. The GAC has advice that conflicts very directly and squarely with the conclusions reached by the GNSO back some time ago. So we are in the process of looking at Red Cross issues. As soon as that is tied up, which I think should happen before the end of the year, at least we're shaping up for that, I'm fairly confident that we will want to, or that we will be asked to revisit the very same questions in relation to intergovernmental organization names, things, for example, such as the World Trade Organization and treaty organizations and so on. That has a direct link to a PDP, a policy development process, that's just finishing up as a consequence of that earlier decision that was made by the GNSO not to afford any, if you like, preferential reservation type treatment, you know, reserve or park names relating to those organizations. A separate effort was launched to determine what protection, if any, should be offered to those names in a manner similar to something like the UDRP. So after something has, a name has been registered by an unauthorized third party, what should happen? We call that the curative rights PDP. And that group is just winding up its work. In fact, it just had a call a few hours ago, and it is not meeting in Abu Dhabi simply because it, in this call that just took place, the group discussed its final recommendations, and those will be tabled and opened up for public comment. So those two things dovetail because they involve the same, if you like, stakeholders and same set of names. And here again, we are in a position where the PDP is lining up to recommend something that runs squarely contrary to what the GAC has recommended. So these are, if anything, specific examples of what James has just pointed out as his top priority, and I agree with him. I agree with his assessment that this business of what the role of the PDP is, what's within scope within a PDP, what the GNSO is able to talk about, and what do we do when GNSO recommendations don't line up with the recommendations of another supporting organization or advisory committee. And here's a perfect example of where we're not just going to have to talk about this in theoretical terms. We're actually going to have to do something about it. So thanks, James, for the opportunity to fill that in.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. I think, perfect example of some issues where the PDP is coming up with something different than other SOs and ACs and even some board members want to see as an outcome. And that's raising some of the discussions about, was the PDP the right mechanism? And it certainly comes up again when we talk about new issues. So those will be lots and lots of fun waiting for you on your desk when you join the council in a couple of weeks.
Thank you both, James and Heather. Very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. And as the outgoing person looking at some of these issues and working on them for a while now, I also say good luck because some of them are very challenging indeed. We've got a few more minutes if there are any other questions. Don't be shy. Well, if there are no more questions, I can tell you that we'll probably just go ahead and adjourn this call, but that's not the end of the conversation. We certainly have tons and tons of materials for you to peruse and browse in your spare time, both in advance of Abu Dhabi and then once we arrive in the UAE. I was maybe kidding before, but maybe half serious, but now I'll be sincere. I do wish you the best of fortunes in you as you undertake your work for this next term. I think that the council is going to benefit not only from your knowledge and your expertise, but also your enthusiasm and your willingness to take on some of these new challenges. I would, as far as advice, I would just say, speak up, ask questions. There's, I think sometimes when you come to something as complicated as ICANN, people will assume that if they ask a question that everybody else already knows the answer and they will appear to be lost or it's a dumb question or something like that. And I can assure you that if you have a question, it's quite the opposite. There's probably at least one or two other people that have the same question. So be brave, be bold, raise your hand, ask the questions. And if nothing else, it can serve a value in getting everybody synchronized on these topics. And I think that's particularly true if someone uses an acronym that you're not familiar with. Make sure you push back on the jargon and the acronym, and I'm probably the worst offender. Always look for opportunities, in my opinion, to streamline, to simplify, to speed things up. I think that ICANN is, by default, an organization that likes to slow down and add complexity, and certainly there are some issues where that's appropriate. But for the most part, when you encounter something that is routine or something that can probably benefit from a little bit of improved efficiency, look for ways to speed things along. Because if you finish your to-do list today, I promise it will fill up again tomorrow, and that's only going to bolster the community's perception of and confidence in the GNSO as a functional and effective body as part of ICANN. And I'll just go ahead and say, probably one of the most important functional bodies within ICANN. So that's my, for whatever it's worth, that and 25 cents will get you a cup of coffee, they used to say. But that's my advice, this group of new counselors, coupled with the experience and the continuity of the leadership team, I think you guys are going to be great. And I look forward to seeing all the amazing things that you're going to do in the next term. So with that, I guess we can close the call. We can stop the recording. And here's some really nice social media links so you can connect with the GNSO and with staff. And please don't be shy. You should all have access to the mailing list. So make sure if you have questions, go ahead and send them there or catch us on the ground in Abu Dhabi. Safe travels, everyone, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, everyone. Once again, the webinar has been adjourned. Operator, if you could please stop all recordings. To everyone.